sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. Feel kind of led this morning to take a pause from our study in the book of Ephesians. I'm far from being done with it, so don't get too excited there. But do feel led to take a little bit of a pause on it with just some thoughts that came to my mind this morning in my heart as we were making the decision about meeting together this morning and looking forward to it after I got over myself. I want to read, I may read the whole thing, but I do definitely want to read the first part of this. We'll just kind of see where the Lord takes it, and I pray diligently that the Lord be in it. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And I want to at least pause there. To say I love the book of Psalms would be an understatement. I do love the book of Psalms. The only book of the Bible where the chapter divisions are inspired. These were psalms that they would sing in worship. And God inspired David to write many of them. And looking at the life of David and the things that he went through in his life, I'm thankful that he was one that always at least made the effort to dwell on God. The book of Psalms, one of the reasons I love it so much is it carries so much emotion with it. There are some of the Psalms that you can feel David's remorse, his pain, his fear. And there are psalms that you can find that you feel his joy and how he's lifted up. To me, the book of Psalms is windows of life because we can find nearly every day in there. We can find our experiences and we can find things that we need to know. David here is inspired to write, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? And I pondered on that this morning, how effective are we at doing that? How often do we do that? David here is remembering his God. That's something that we desperately need to do more of, to remember our God. There is indeed a lot going on right now. The nation is divided. It's been divided for a long time. But it's exaggerated. One of the sermons that was preached at Little River was about too much information. You can never have too much information about God, but we can quickly have too much information about this world and each other's lives. Should we care about each other's lives? Yes. But should today's world has allowed us not just windows into everybody's lives, but open doors, and we project our everyday lives out for everyone to see. There is really no such thing as a private life anymore. Nobody knows how to have that. And the reason that the division seems so exaggerated today is because you know what everybody thinks. And that's a problem. We have too much information. The nation's divided. There's sickness. There's sorrow. There's problems. Churches seem to be under attack. Churches are under attack. Churches seem to be shrinking. It can cause heaviness on God's people. The troubles in our lives and the troubles in the lives around us can cause troubles for us. Am I alone in this? Y'all understand there's only a few of you here. See, y'all will have to be involved this morning. We have these troubles. We have these struggles. We have these problems. And it bring heaviness on us. And it can bring sorrow upon us. And we can lose hope. We can have despair. We can have those moments of wanting to throw our hands up and giving up. We can sit back and, rather than remembering God, we challenge Him. Where are you, God? What's going on? Have you given up on us? I fear that we're far too quick to do that rather than what David is doing here. He's remembering his God. He's remembering just how good He really is. The truth. Y'all want the truth? And the blessed thing about truth, it doesn't care about feelings. It doesn't care about trends. There is no such thing as virtual truth. The reality is there's no such thing as my truth. I know the world likes that to be the case, but there is no such thing as my truth. There is truth. And truth does not change. It does not yield. It does not move. And the truth is, God loves you. God loves His people. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Is David needing to remind God to remember those things? Or is that really a moment of David saying, I need to remember Thy loving kindnesses? We don't have to remind God. God does not forget. Those verses that we find in the book of Psalms, that's not David asking God to remember His loving kindnesses and the fact that they are of old. He is challenging us to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord and His tender mercies and His loving kindnesses, for they have ever been of old, and they ever will be believe it's the book of Ecclesiastes where he says, no, it's Lamentations. For his mercies are new every morning. Does that mean God gave up on us every night? And he has to start anew every morning? Every day is a new day. And we have an ever-renewing God that's ever-present with us. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. That soul there is us. It's our mind. It's our heart. The world would call that your heart. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my heart? Do I lift up my desires? Do I lift up my driving force? Do I lift up who I am and all that you have made me to be? That is the thing that the world is fighting for. That is the thing that we need to be fighting for others. He that winneth souls is wise. We're supposed to be soul winners. And I know that a lot of times the old Baptists have been guilty of saying that that's not our job. But Scripture says, he that winneth souls is wise. The book of James tells us that if you see a brother committing sin and you turn him from his ways, you save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. We have the ability of doing that. That is the soul that David is speaking of, that he is lifting up unto God. He is saying, Lord, protect me. Lord, protect us. Lord, lift us up. I lift my soul unto you, O Lord. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. In whichever definition you want to place on that, ashamed would fit there. Ashamed does not always mean wanting to hide behind a rock because somebody's around. Anybody ever embarrassed yourself? Been ashamed of something that you've done? Had to come own up to your parents that something that you've done? Been caught doing something and felt that shame? That is one sense of, let me not be ashamed. David is the same one that says, create in me a clean spirit, O Lord. Keep me from my wicked ways. Turn me, Lord. Let me not be ashamed before you. Let me walk in your righteousness. Another version of ashamed, I believe the one that we find in the book of Romans where it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's confused. Knowing that God has revealed His entire Word to us, and that it is so easily and readily available for us, we should be ashamed if we're confused by His Word. David is crying out to not let me be ashamed. Don't let me be confused about who you are, God. That's the problem that we're having when we continue to go to God and challenge Him of where are you, rather than remembering Him, as we have become ashamed of God and confused about who He is and forgetting that God is good always. That's not just a fun little slogan to throw out there, God is good and all the time, God is good and God is good all the time. That's fun to say, but it's truth. And when we find ourselves desiring to challenge God and to question God, we have allowed ourselves to be ashamed of God. And that's not a place that I desire for us to be. That's not a place that any child of God should want to be. And that is what David is crying out. Yea, let me not, Lord, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Don't let this world overtake me. Don't let my fears, my worries, these enemies, a lot of times when we are reading the book of Psalms and David is praying about his enemies, we immediately want to go to people. Saul that was trying to kill him sought him out to destroy him and to kill him out of jealousy and out of rage. And all of the various ites of the land, David carried a name with himself. They sang songs about him. For Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. David was not a popular feller outside of Jerusalem and outside of Israel. He was a feared man. So he did indeed have a lot of enemies, and that's what we want to immediately run to and consider when he's praying about, let not mine enemies overtake me. But y'all know a lot of it. The truth of the matter is, most commonly, our worst enemy is ourselves. Our fears, our worries, our doubts, our shame, our negligence, our slothfulness. To put it in a nutshell and give it a quick, easy name, our flesh. Y'all do remember that we're told in Scripture that while we were yet enemies with God, He died for us. Our flesh is still enemies with God. And it is therefore still enemy with us. Our greatest warfare is not with the world outside. Our hardest and harshest warfare is not with other people. Our greatest and our hardest and the most needful, diligent fight that we have is with ourselves. And David's saying, Lord, let not my enemies overtake me. That is a prayer that we need. Lord, let not my flesh overtake me. Let not my flesh triumph over me. Let not my fears and my worries and my neglect and my doubts and my slothfulness and my habits and my habitual sin and my propensity to sin, and let not the shiny things of this world triumph over me, Lord. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Man, wouldn't the world be a great place if all of God's people would not be ashamed of Him? Not just ashamed of Him, but ashamed about Him. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Turn it around, Lord. Keep me from being ashamed. Keep me from being defeated. And let me see them be defeated for a while. Lord, my flesh is worn out. 9 times out of 10 this last week, Lord, help me to see a victory this week. Let my flesh be ashamed. Let my doubts feel a loss for a change. Help me to win. Y'all see how good this is? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lead me in thy truth. God has indeed given us His word and His truth for a reason, for us to be led by it. One of the greatest ways to not be ashamed of God is to read His word and to study His word. Like I said, the fact that He has given us everything that we need to know, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, that means we can be a thoroughly furnished man of God. That means we can understand God. I know we can't fully understand Him. I know there is no mastery in the study of God. I know there is no point where I reach a doctorate that I can hang a plaque on the wall that says, I can tell you everything about God. But the problem is we so often allow that to become a crutch of, oh, I can't understand God. His ways are so far above my ways, and His thoughts so far above my thoughts, so I can't really understand God. I can't really understand what He would have me to do. That's foolishness to Scripture. He has given us His Word by inspiration that we can be a thoroughly furnished man of God, that if we, through patience... Y'all remember this, right? Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Teach me, Lord, Thy ways. Help me to remember those things. I give my family a hard time when we used to ride in the same car every Sunday. Now we're kind of split up all over the place. But when we would ride home, I would, 5 minutes away from the church house, ask, what'd y'all learn this morning? And I do that to them because the same was done to me when I was a kid, being a preacher's kid. And they all look at me with the same disdain that I would look at when I was a kid. Well, I don't know. I'd have to think about it for a minute. I'm not sure. Why don't you ask me immediately after? And I poke at them, but the reality is, what's 2 + 2? All of y'all can say 4, right? You want to know why that is? You've been taught it. You've learned it. And you can remember that. The same can be said about God. We can learn about Him. Now, I'll give y'all some relief. I don't expect any of you to remember everything I said every Sunday. Y'all want to know the honest confession truth? Half the times, I don't remember everything I said every Sunday, so... I'll let y'all off. You don't have to remember all of that every time. But if you truly learn something about God, what David is saying is, Lord, help me to really learn to lead me in Thy truth. Help teach me, Lord, so that I can remember these things. When the trials and the troubles and the pains and the suffering and the things of this world come upon me, I don't go, well, what was it about God that, I know there was something about Him that would help me right now. Help me to call it to memory, Lord. Help me to remember the things about You, for You are the God of my salvation. That is probably one of the greatest statements in Scripture. Thou art the God of my salvation. I'm not the God of my salvation. I'm not the God of your salvation. God is the God of our salvation. To be a God is to be all-powerful, all-knowing, all-providing, the one that does it all, the be-all, end-all of our salvation is God. It would do us well to remember that and to remember that I am not in control of my salvation. God is. Y'all know what that means? All those times we want to throw our hands up and quit. Throw our hands up and give up. And should we even gather again? Because there's just going to be so many of us. God doesn't have those doubts. God doesn't throw His hands up. God doesn't tire. God doesn't depend on us to be perfect. He's forgiven us already because we're not. He is the God of our salvation. And if anybody had any reason to feel alone in this world, it's David. To literally have to live in caves because the world had been told you were the enemy. Does that sound like Christians today? I'm talking true Christians. I'm not talking about the way the world uses it, that anybody and everybody that claims Christ. I'm talking about true Christians. We have been made the enemy of this world, and we are the ones that everybody is against. And we can find ourselves in the position of David, feeling like we need to go hide in a cave. The amazing thing about David, he didn't do that. He hid from Saul. But how many times did God provide a possibility and a circumstance for David? He literally was able to walk into the camp of Saul and take the spear from him. You think God was with him? He was able to walk up there and slice off a piece of his skirt. You think God was with him? God's with us. David was given the ability, even though he was hiding from Saul, he was provided for. Sometimes even right in the middle of the land of his enemies, God would provide for him. Lead me by thy truth, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. I think that one is another one that it's not so much that David is trying to get God to forget him. We need to forget them. We will let our past destroy us. Help us not, Lord, to remember our foolishness. Lord knows I need that one. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God really is that good. God really is with us. God does provide for us. God does keep us. He uses us. And aren't you so glad and thankful that he does so for his goodness' sake? Oftentimes, when we look at the history. You know, I reminded y'all that the New Testament church was built upon the Old Testament scriptures. The examples that the New Testament church needed to remember were the examples of Israel and the examples of old. How often did God save Israel? Not because of their goodness, not because they had turned, but for my name's sake will I preserve thee, O Israel. For I am the God of Israel. God does. We need to pray to God. We need to trust God. We need to serve God. We need to do everything that we can that he bless us for doing so. But God is so good that that's not the only times that he'll bless us. Sometimes we can find ourselves blessed right in the middle of our own foolishnesses. Ain't that amazing? God is good. That's not just a slogan. God is good. I do thank you.
I will sing the wondrous story.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me? Sing it with. Sing it with.
The saints in glory.
Gather by
the crystal sea.